Well, good morning and welcome to worship on this 7th of March, 2021. I'm Derek Ingfelt, pastor here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Saratoga, California, and I welcome you to this gathering on this third Sunday in the season of Lent. We will celebrate Holy Communion in this service, so if you do not have that prepared, you can stop the video now and prepare your elements of bread and either wine or grape juice. Our theme this morning is God's holy habitation. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Good, gracious, and glorious God, once again we come together as your beloved people to focus our thoughts on your living and life-giving word that convicts us of our sin and brings us comfort, hope, and inspiration. As it was your good pleasure for all your fullness to dwell in your Son, even so you deign to dwell within us and among us. Lift our spirits in praise before you now, that we may faithfully bring you all honor and glory. Amen. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening music, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Thank you very much, Elizabeth, for that piece. Now I feel like I'm in the season of Lent. Well, we are hopeful as we continue to move forward during this stage of the pandemic, as the vaccinations continue to increase. Here in Santa Clara County of California, more than 328,000 people have received at least one vaccination. And of those age 16 and older, a full 9.8% have been vaccinated. So we are making good progress. Now, in our country, more than 28 million people have contracted COVID-19, and more than 524,000 people have died. Please continue to be vigilant, wear your masks, and maintain your distance with those outside your household. We have decided that in a month's time, beginning on the 11th of April, that we will begin to be worshiping indoors here in this place. We will continue to record these services, although they might look a bit different than what you have become used to. But you will be seeing more people, more activity, and that is a good thing. But at this time, as we continue to be distanced from one another, we encourage you to participate in online gatherings. If you are watching this at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, you can participate in a live Zoom gathering. You'll see information on the screen about that. Also, during the week, we have Bible study on Wednesday and Thursday, to which you are welcome. This coming Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we will be having a Lenten gathering, again, via Zoom. Our study is on a resource by Pastor Max Lucado called Jesus, the God Who Knows Your Name. We will focus this coming Wednesday on Jesus as a great teacher. We continue to collect food and clothes and books for kids here on site, and we welcome your participation in that. A shout out today to Derek, whose birthday it is today, and turns 20 years old. Happy birthday to you, Derek. And an expression of gratitude to you for your support of our ministry and mission here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Thank you for your generosity in giving. If you would like to donate, you can simply go to our church website, where you can use the PayPal or Givelify app, or of course you can send in your checks to the church office. Thank you for your partnership. And finally, if this service is of benefit to you, please feel free to pass it on and to share it with others. We rejoice in our online audience. Our Holy Gospel for today, according to St. John, the second chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it up in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, it was just about Passover time, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem with his disciples. We need to think back to the Passover and what that event was all about, for it frames what occurs here in this scene. Passover was the great event of the Old Testament. It was the beginning of the Exodus event. On that night, which culminated, the 10 plagues culminated in, the angel of death passed over the homes, and the people of Israel were spared. They had taken blood from a lamb and put that blood on the sides of the doorway and on the lintel up high on the doorway. And again, when the angel of death saw the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and lintel of the homes, the angel of death passed over and the people were spared. This is the beginning of the Exodus. This is not only what God did, but this showed the kind of God the people had. This showed who God is and what God does. This all started back at the burning bush, where Moses received his call from God, and God had told Moses to go to Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And there's the good news right there. Let my people go. These were God's people. God would care for them. God would rescue them in this great Exodus event. The Passover thereafter was a time to celebrate the goodness of God, to celebrate God's great rescue of his people, to celebrate God himself, that God was gracious and loving and cared for his people. And so Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, to the temple of God, to celebrate this Passover event. Jesus goes into the temple, and immediately, in the text for today, Jesus sees a mess. Jesus sees what he will later call an emporium, a marketplace where people are doing all kinds of things that Jesus says should not be going on in the temple of God. Certainly there is mercy for sin coming from God, but tolerance for sin? No way. And we see it clearly in the actions of Jesus as he braids together a cord and drives the people out of the temple. When the disciples observe the actions of Jesus as he drove out the animals and overturned the money changers' table, the passage from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms, came to their mind, "Zeal for thy house will consume me." In Greek, that word for consume is literally to eat up, as if someone is eating a meal. Zeal for his father's house was eating him up inside, as Jesus observed what was going on in the temple square. These money changers, these animals that were being sold and purchased, it was all clouding the character of God. What kind of God would the people see? How did they envision God's character? How could they possibly get it right with the things that were happening in the temple that day? What kind of story would they tell about God? What kind of witness would they give? Your money? It's not good enough. Your money is ordinary. You need to exchange that money for money that can be used for proper offering. Your sacrifice? Your sacrifice is insufficient. You need to trade your imperfect animal for something that is worthy for sacrifice. And you yourself, you are unworthy to be here. What kind of God did the people see? What kind of story would they tell about God with all that was happening in this temple space? Jesus drove them out of the temple. "How dare you," he says, "how dare you turn my father's house into an emporium, a marketplace? Zeal for thy house will consume me." Jesus would use this occasion for deeper purpose. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the parables of Jesus, that would have the effect to give insight to some, but leave others blind. John records not parables, but statements of Jesus that do much the same thing. They enlighten some, while they bewilder others. "Tear this temple down, and I will rebuild it in 3 days," Jesus says. What? What in the world is Jesus talking about? Well, remember back with me. Remember way, way back to the time when there was a consideration of whether or not to build the temple in the first place. This happened in the days of Samuel, the days of King David, and later his son, King Solomon. Should the people build a house for God? The first answer was no. And why? Why should they not build a house for God? Well, first of all, God says, "I've never asked for a house. I've never asked you to build me a house. Don't build me one." Plus, the people might get the wrong idea. God had told them that he was moving with them throughout the wilderness, moving about in the tent that was taken up, moved, and set up once again. You might get the wrong idea that I'm static if you build me a house. Your faith, once fresh, might become stale. And now the temple has been built, and we see the effects of it. We see that this temple that was built for the glory of God has now turned into a marketplace. In the first chapter of John, which precedes our text for today, we came to know Jesus as the incarnate God, God with flesh on. The Word was no longer just a spoken word. It becomes a living word, a breathing word, a walking around word. Follow the commandments turns into follow me when the Word becomes flesh in Jesus. Thus says the Lord becomes thus does the Lord when the Word becomes flesh in Jesus. And so the temple, once the dwelling place of God, has taken up residence in Jesus. God is no longer dwelling in the temple there in Jerusalem. The presence of God is dwelling in the temple of the body of our Lord. The temple of God was now walking around. It was now mobile again. Remember when this occurs? During the great celebration of the Passover? Well, twice in the first chapter of John, twice, John bears witness of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the Lamb of God. And you remember that the blood of Lamb was applied to the doorposts and way up high on the lintel of the homes? Others may be bewildered at these words of Jesus. "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." Others may be bewildered by those words, but we will not be surprised. For Jesus will go to the cross. Jesus will be lifted up high and serve as the sacrificial Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. But that is not all. There is more temple to talk about today. More than the Jerusalem temple. More than the temple of the body of Jesus. And that is you yourself, as a temple of the living God. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of God in Corinth in the 6th chapter, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, and that you are not your own?" During the season of Lent, We take time to examine ourselves before God. It is proper for us to ask ourselves what we have allowed into the temple of God, the temple of God as our being, what we have allowed into our bodies, our heart, our mind, our soul. Perhaps it's time to do some spring cleaning. For how do you see God? Someone who is demanding? Someone who is never satisfied with whatever you do? Your sacrifices, your offerings, your very being? Or do you see God as one who is compassionate, one who is merciful, one who provides the lamb as your sacrifice, one who comes to your rescue as God came to the rescue of his people during Passover? Jesus makes known these enduring truths. God's grace cannot be bought. God's sacrifice is more than sufficient. God's claim of you is that you are his beloved child. How you see God will affect the way you worship and will affect the way you witness. Indeed, we call this place, this sanctuary, the house of God. And it is our fierce and determined intention that everything that happens here in this space, everything that happens within these walls, will bring glory to the God for whom it was built. What happens here should never hinder your faith, but should help you to see God clearly so that you can worship God more fully. May the Spirit of God that lives in you send you forth from this place with zeal that consumes you to bear his gospel message in your words and by your actions, that all might come to know his marvelous grace. Amen. A reminder before continuing on with the service to please prepare the elements of bread, wine, or grape juice to participate in this service of Holy Communion. And now we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And now if you have someone with you in the house, take the bread, break the bread, and hand the bread to the person who is with you, with the words, "The body of Christ given for you." And if you are alone, hold the bread up, speak the words, "The body of Christ," and then partake. Please partake now. The body of Christ. And again after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, if you have someone with you in the house, please extend the cup to them and speak the words, "The blood of Christ shed for you." If you are by yourself, hold up the cup, speak the words, "The blood of Christ," and then partake. Please partake now. The blood of Christ. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bless you and keep you in his grace, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we bow ourselves in humble adoration before you as we give you thanks and praise during this season of Lent, the season when we follow you in your journey to the cross. We lift before you those who are in need of your special and healing touch in their lives. We pray for Athena and Alice, for Ashley, Lucas, and Victor, for Darrell, Dick, Doris, and Dorothy, for Greg, for Harriet, for Hazel and Janet, for Kelsey, Linnell, Lee, and Les, for Rashida, Reed, Steve, and Gina, Wally, and Joyce, and Stephen. O Lord, you know the needs of all these your servants, and we thank you that you are at work in their lives, bringing about your good for each of them. We continue to pray for our nation, for unity and leadership among nations. We pray for all those who have been affected by COVID-19 virus, especially for Pastor Marty, that you would bind him up with your healing power and bless him, that he might continue his ministry to the glory of your name. We thank you for your servant Derek, who celebrates his birthday today. We pray that you would bless him richly in the coming year with all that is good. We also lift before you others who celebrate the gift of life, for Andrew and Barbara, for Catherine and Chris, for Christian, Melissa, and Mindy. We thank you for all these, your dear servants. We pray for our leaders this morning, for President Biden and Vice President Harris, that you would grant your wisdom, guidance, and insight, humility, and strength as they serve the people of this country and serve our world. We pray for our sister congregation, Grace Church in Evergreen, and Pastor John, for the ministry taking place within and beyond their church walls. Bless it to your holy name. We pray also for missionaries Tim and Sarah serving in Turkey. Be with them during this important time of transition, that they might leave the congregation they have served in good hands and faithfully lead them to their next site. We pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones in this season, especially for the Carino, Gonzalez, Kozer, Leper, Peters, Strauss, and Thorne families. Comfort them with your presence and encourage them with your promises of everlasting life. All these spoken prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts we lift before you, trusting in your mercy, as we join together in the prayer you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining us on this 7th of March, 2021. It is good to share in this time together with you in our worship of our Lord. And now receive the benediction from the Apostle Paul, his words to the Church of God in Rome. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing music for today, O Worship the King. Thank you, Anton, for the gifts that you share.